are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dave's Good Vibration Station, the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. I'm your host, Davey Crockett. What a beautiful, beautiful, and blessed Sunday this is. I am so happy to be sharing my time with you. First of all, I would like to say thank you to all of our listeners. I hope we are all sending unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter in all six directions. You've just tuned in to the Vibration Station. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful show lined up for you today. It's just going to be you and me in the studio. I'm going to be playing a few different inspirational songs by the one and only Chances Are Good, Brother Chances. Over here at the Vibration Station, as you know, we support and help spread anything and everything that is a positive vibration, hence Dave's Good Vibration Station. Our goal here over at the Vibration Station is to just enlighten you, to show you that there are other ways of perceiving yourself and the world outside of what you've always been taught. Right? So the idea is that, you know, there's multiple ways. There's not one specific way to pursue this human experience, but there are multiple ways, multiple facets, multiple realities of how you want to make it for yourself. That's not what we're going to be talking about today. Today is going to be solely focused on spreading a positive energy into the world in a few ways. The name of today's episode is It Only Causes Pain If You're Holding On. And what do we mean by that? Well, each and every day we go on with our lives. We allow circumstances to affect us, whether we are happy, whether we're sad, whether we're up, we're down, we're energetic, we're depressed, whatever. Ultimately, we react with our surroundings. Well, that's only human nature. That's only what we can do is react with our surroundings. But I'm coming to you today and saying, what if our surroundings actually were reacting to us, right? And what I mean is we always talk about on the vibration station, oh, you create your own reality, oh, you manifest, thoughts are vibrations, thoughts are things, blah, 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 you get all that. We're not going to go into that. But what we're going to go into is how you, as an individual, allow things to affect you. What I mean is, it only, as I said, is the name of the episode, it only causes pain if you're holding on. The reason why I thought that that would be an appropriate topic for today was recently I've been experiencing certain things in my life where I will get frustrated, right? I've been realizing lately that there are things that I get frustrated at, or I'll feel offended, or I'll feel like, you know, some sort of entitlement to the circumstance. Let me explain. Right. So there's things that we all go through on a daily basis, things we don't want to do, our boss tells us to do, right? Or, there's something going on with your parents or just family or, you know, your husband, wife, whatever. Doesn't matter. And you're constantly in a state of reacting, constantly in a state of bouncing off of what just happened, right? For example, let's say you're a 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid. You want to go out to a kickback or a party or something that your friends are having. But it's pretty late at night, and your parents don't want you to go out. Well, reacting, right, and holding on to the idea of, I'm only going to have a good night if I go to the party, right? This is what we're talking about here. Well, that 15, 14, 15, 16-year-old kid all of a sudden gets mad. He's reacting to his parents saying no to him without even thinking why. All he knows is he wants to go, and the only thing that's keeping him from going is his parents. So, obviously, he's going to get defensive. He's going to get mad. He's going to get upset. He's going to say, no, well, everybody's going, right? All of a sudden, that escalates, that rises. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, where I'm going with this is if you, let's say that you're that 14-year-old kid, and the parents saying no is a metaphor for whatever circumstance you feel like this 15-year-old kid. Well, at the end of the night, the 15-year-old kid finally gives up. He says, okay, fine, whatever. My parents are douchebags. They didn't let me go to the party, right? But then he stays upset. He stays mad, and he dwells on it. And he's like, oh, like, you know, all my friends are there. I'm here stuck in the house. My parents are so lame. Well, what this 15-year-old kid doesn't understand is that the only reason in the first place, right, why we get upset when we don't initially get what we want is because we are holding on to it. So it's an equation, right? It's like math. It's like a mathematical equation. You know what I mean? If you let it go and understand, right, that actually staying home tonight could be a wonderful opportunity to do something that I don't normally do, right? What I'm saying is we're all 15-year-old kids dealing with our parents, right? We are all, obviously, once again, metaphorical. But we are all put in situations where we feel offended or we feel entitled to an apology, right? Why doesn't this person see how I'm feeling? Well, it hurts, and I understand that. You know what I'm saying? I totally get that. If you in your head are feeling a way and you're not happy with the situation or you're not, you know, content, right? First of all, if you're not content, That right there is showing you that you are making your happiness conditional. Here on the Vibration Station, we try to remind you that happiness is not conditional. Well, it is if you make it. But happiness, the pure form of a human being, is to be unconditionally happy, right? Now, I'm not saying that it's bad to experience fear, it's bad to experience hate. No, not at all. Experiencing fear, hate, lust, anger, gluttony, sloth. We could go all seven. Experiencing these things is not bad at all. Of course not. No. If anything, it's good. It's positive. It gives you perspective, right? But, like everything, you test the waters. You experience this degree of negativity. You experience this level of hatred. You experience this denial, right? This attachment to, well, I wanted to do this. I'm not being, you know. So what I'm saying here is, on one more level beyond just what you want to do, ask yourself, why do I get angry instead of reacting? Bam, I'm mad. I don't get to go. Bam, I'm mad. You know what I mean? Instead of reacting, act. Think, wait a minute. Take a second and be like, why would I continually get mad? Continually get frustrated? Right? This is what I'm talking about. You test the waters. You know the negative route. You know where it takes you. It gives you perspective. But when we keep going back there, every time we don't get what we want, that's because we are holding on to something, right? We're not letting it go. Otherwise, if you let it go, you wouldn't feel this negativity. You wouldn't feel this anger. You would understand that your happiness is conditional. And if there's a scenario, a situation that you are in your life where, you know, you can't do exactly what you want to do, or you are put in a situation where you feel forced, or you're put in a situation where you feel like you have been undertreated, right? Instead of stepping back and saying, woe is me, like I've done multiple times, like we've all done multiple times, letting it go, changing your reality, changing your thoughts, would actually be you having an unconditional happiness for the situation and for the moment, regardless if it is what you want or what you don't want. Having said that, ladies and gentlemen, I would love to play a quick song by Chances Are Good, the one and only. You know what we're saying. The song that that we are about to listen to is it's called Shoobop. A shoobop boobop, a shoobop doobop, well, keep on learning. And the reason why I'm playing this song is because there's actually a line in the science. It's quite synchronous. See? When you're happy, the universe is synchronous and it just goes, it flows with your way. It flows with anything you want. You think it, you feed it, you bless it, it's there. Bam, it's there. So, yeah, the reason why I'm playing the song is because there's actually a line in the song. He goes, nothing stays the same for very long, very long, very long. And it only causes pain if you're holding on. So, it's like, that's only appropriate for this moment. Chances Are Good, Shoe Bop. Check it out.
Shoobop, shoobop, telling you about the million things you need to do. video and keep on learning. He'll never forget video. The earth keeps turning, steadily serving the purpose and working perfect. Look at the plant life all around, all around. Shabab, shabab, getting everything they need from the sky and ground, sky and ground. Shabab, shabab, the creator takes care of these precious ones. He's gonna provide for you, provide for you. So don't waste your time or trouble your mind. Seek the absolute, yeah. You got too hot, way up, and now you're burning. Produce new thoughts, way yo, and keep on learning. You'll not forget, hey yo. The earth keeps turning, steadily serving the purpose. I'm working perfect. Shabab, shabab, way yo.
So good. See, that's what we're talking about. Brother Chances, thank you for creating such wonderful music. We are always sending you unconditional appreciation for those awesome vibrations. Unconditional appreciation for those awesome vibrations. Unconditional appreciation for those super awesome vibrations. That's my song. Yeah, so you get the idea. Look at the plant life all around, shoo-bop, getting everything they need from the sky and ground, You're like, wow, thanks, Dave. Just keep it up. So the idea that I am portraying to you beautiful listeners of this world is that it really is up to us how mad we get. What I'm trying to remind you of is, right, when you actually, this is another aspect, we're going to dig one step deeper. One step deeper. Put your hiking shoes on, man. We're going deep. The funny thing is, when you get mad, right, when we get mad at a situation or we get mad, blah, 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 that's actually an attachment, right? It only causes pain if you're holding on. It's true. It only causes pain if you're holding on, because if you're holding on to something, if you're not holding on to an emotion, if you're not tied, right, to feeling entitled to an emotion, then you don't feel it, right? You feel the opposite of that, which is happiness, bliss, right? One step deeper than that, so, right, loose laces are tied up, hiking shoes are on, we're going pretty deep. Well, in actuality, I think that quite possibly when we get mad at our outside surroundings, when we have made these attachments and when we are holding on to these, we are actually just getting mad at ourselves, right? We are actually mad at ourselves. Everything in our surroundings that's going on that we find to be obstructing our flow, if we find to be outside of our preference, right? then we get defensive. We put up walls. We get upset. We get angry. We get scared. Whatever. Whatever it is. So my point is that emotion, whatever negative emotion you're having tied to that circumstance in your surroundings that you're not vibing with, is actually you just feeling that about yourself. It's not the surroundings. It's you. Okay. That's what I'm trying to talk at. Talk at. That's what I'm trying to get in your head, right? It's the idea that, for example, let's say that you go to a nice dinner, right? You go to a nice dinner, and let's say that you buy everyone dinner, right? Awesome, okay? Well, a few people say thank you. Do you know what I'm saying? A few people are like, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Let's say you're with family. Let's say you're with your family or whatever, right? You buy dinner, they're thank you, thank you, thank you. But it always seems like there's that one person, right? That one person that never extends that gratitude that you're always looking for. Like, it's awesome that everybody else says thank you, but there's always that one person or those few people that, like, you never really feel it from. That, like, you've always tried a little bit harder to get that from that person, but it never seems like they give it to you. Well, let's say that, you know, after you guys go to a nice dinner or whatever, you know, you buy dinner, everyone's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then that one person that never extends it doesn't in this circumstance. You feel hurt. You feel like, well, like, does this person not appreciate? Does this person not see? Are they not considerate of what I, you know, of how, you know, I'm taking us to dinner, right? These are the thoughts that you could think, right? This is usually where a person's head would go if they have been trying to get an approval from a person and they don't get it. They don't get it. They feel hurt because there's an attachment. So what I'm asking you to do is ask yourself what within you makes it to where you need that recognition. Why can't you just be totally and completely, utterly satisfied that you got to feed people that you love? I mean, the thank yous are nice and they mean a lot and they go a really long way. But what I'm saying, and I get it, right? I get it. Well, it's like, well, that's just common courtesy, is to say thank you, is to, like, you know, dude, you took us out. Thank you so much. Well, what I'm saying is not everybody has common courtesy. And especially the people that you want to get that more from, especially the individuals in your life that you seek their approval. You seek that pat on the back. You seek that, oh, thanks, man. Oh, good job. Right? Here's another circumstance. Just like, you know, a father with his son. Take a father with his son. Take the son that is always trying to do things, you know, always trying to do, like, you know, little things to show his dad that, you know, he cares. Or, like, you know, little, like, oh, dad, want to play ball? But the dad's always, every time, is like, no, he's, you know, doing something else. No, can't do that. No, gotta do that. No. Well, as that kid grows up, he's constantly seeking daddy's approval. Well, mommy, every night, every moment of the day, is open arms to little Jimmy, right? She is all open arms. And little Jimmy loves mommy, right? Of course. But for some reason, right? And little Jimmy's only like 6, 7, 8 years old. Do you know what I'm saying? But for some reason, little Jimmy over here is constantly trying to show daddy, right, that he can do this. Or, you know, dad likes baseball, I'm going to throw a baseball. You know what I mean? Dad likes football, I'm going to grab a football, ask if he wants to, you know, come on. The typical, you know, father like son thing, you know, where the kids idolize their fathers, right? We all do. You know what I mean? And so the point that I'm saying, the point that I'm getting at is there there are seeds that are planted within us that make us react and make us attached and make us hold on to these things because they were comfort zones. They were barriers for us. Maybe when we were younger, when we were growing up, or maybe we just developed them over time. One way or another, what I'm saying is there is a root to all pain. There is a root to everything you are holding on to. There is a root to all emotion in your body. Right? Every thought you think, everything you feel is in you. We, as beings, as human beings, are divine gardens of infinite potential and expectation. We are not infinite beings of expectation. I've had potential and possibly self-exploration. Yes. So, the whole idea is let's get to that root. Let's see what we're holding on to. So, little Jimmy, 7 years old, constantly trying to please daddy, doesn't get daddy's approval, right? So, he grows up his entire life with this seed planted in his head of needing this approval. There is a void in his heart, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, is it the dad's fault? Yeah. Is it also little Jimmy's fault? Of course. Even though he's only 5 years old, he still has the ability to allow and not allow emotions, feelings. He's so young, so he doesn't understand the difference. He doesn't understand, oh, Jimmy, don't let that affect you in that way. Right? All he knows is he loves daddy. He has this energetic connection to father, to his dad, and he's not getting it. Right? Another situation is, let's take a husband and a wife. You know what I'm saying? I know I've heard of, circumstances, relationships where there's been, my friend's moms, my friend's dads that have been married. I've had many friends' parents get divorced, right? And then I'm close. I'm very close with the families, right? We're all families here. We all get into each other's business. No, but we all care. You know what I mean? If stuff is going on, you're gonna talk. You're gonna sit down. You're gonna say, "What's going on? Let's talk." So, I can't tell you how many times people have been, I've heard of people being married for 20 years, 30 years, being in relationships that are self-destructive because of attachments, because of these things, because of one's trying to please the other, one's constantly trying to get the other's approval, and the other one's not giving it, or vice versa. Do you know what I'm saying? Or, there's just not that level of appreciation that one feels should be reached, right? But nobody knows. Do you know what I'm saying? And then there's this defensive act that's going on, and it's self-destructive. It is self-destructive. It is a downward spiral, right? Until one day, 30 years later, a quarter of your life is gone, and you're like, wait, holy shit, I need to make a change. This is not who I am. I'm sick and tired of this void. I'm sick and tired of making up for this void. Right? What void am I making up for? It's the same idea, with little Jimmy's dad. Well, let's take kids where they're constantly seeking mommy's approval. Let's take single mothers, right? Well, not all kids that are constantly seeking mommy's approval are single mothers. That's not at all what I'm stating. But I'm just using an example of there are a lot of single mothers in today's society. In today's day and age, a lot of single mothers. And we bless you. And we give you so much appreciation and love for your motherly attributes and all that you do in raising your children. It is amazing. But the circumstance that I'm going to bring forth is now let's take, we had little Jimmy, now we're going to take little Timmy. Well, little Timmy's like 6 years old, and, you know, mom is young. Mom is still totally in her phase. Mom is still totally concerned with how mom looks, what mom's doing tonight. Do you know what I'm saying? But little Timmy, all he knows is that's mommy. That's my mommy, right? So I need love for mommy. I need compassion. There's an energetic cord that children are born with, right? You share DNA. Are you kidding? You want love. All you want is love, acceptance, to be held, to be told, I love you, right? To be pet. Seriously, when you're like four, what do you want? You want that comfort. You want that goo goo gaga lovey comfort from your mom, from mommy and daddy. You know what I'm saying? So, Timothy is a six-year-old kid, never gets mommy's approval. Mommy's always blowing Timmy off, going out of the house. All of a sudden, Timmy's 17, and he treats women disrespectfully because when he was growing up, he has this energetic tie. He has this thing that he's holding on to as a child to where he had to put up his barriers just to feel comfortable enough to live his life with his mother, right? He needed to put up his own walls to establish his comfort zone, right? It's the shields. You're putting up, yeah, it's your defense mechanism. It's, of course. So Timothy at 6 years old is trying to get mom's approval. Mom's too busy with partying and doing her thing. Just drops him off, you know. She comes home late. Well, Timothy grows up, you know, 10, 11, 12. Mom's still doing the same thing. He creates this defense mechanism. And what is that? Well, whatever he wants it to be. However that may manifest. 10 years later, right? When Timothy's, like I said, 16, 17. All of a sudden, there's nice girls coming around, you know? He's getting attracted to women now. Oh, Timothy, right? But right when he starts to care for a woman, that same vulnerability, that same defense mechanism pops up because that's all he's known with women. That's a tie that he has had. Well, I'm speaking to the Timothys and the Jimmys of the world, and I'm saying, dudes, that was your parents' choice, right? Quite literally or metaphorically, having your parents be whoever, like we were talking about earlier, you know, having, you know, how the kid, the parents don't let the kid go to the party. Well, that's all a metaphor for, you know, whatever that is getting under your skin, whatever that is that you're holding on to, right? So guys, I think you understand the idea. I hope you do, because what I will tell you is it is so unbelievably important for our well-being that we understand why we get mad, why we get frustrated, why we tune into these low vibrations. Well, it's because we don't let go of ties and attachments that we have. We don't need to put up our defense mechanisms anymore. We can learn how to fully pursue who we are and what we want to do without anybody else's approval. It only causes pain if you're holding on. Guys, chances are good. Which away? Check it out.
venom, sweet sounds of them violence, vibrating in the vine plants. Grateful to the grandparents and transparent tarantulas. Fight your mama, Yeshua, crescent songs and vegetables. Created, bless us one and all. Sufferings are suffer does. Dig in the mud, sing for your blood with all of your love. Kisses and hugs, fishes and bugs, deers and the doves, trees and the shrubs. Wishing your love, sending those prayers and those thank you cards to each and every single star. To who and what we are. You say you feel a little low today. Well, that's alright, we're gonna use this perfect time to pray and focus love and light in every single which you way. Until your spirit's bright and blazing, those we chone race, we chone, we chone. Thank your grandpa's, grandma's, greatest great grandson with a big, bright, flint tongue. Spitting while they speak and listen to the teaching. The remedies are reaching the furthest branches, taking chances, painting the canvas. Intrinsic, synchronistic music and magic. Worrying is never added. One head of cabbage to the garden of an everlasting homage. Paying homage with that awesome mileage. Million, millennium, mycelium, helium, levitating helixes. Fire, ether, relationship, perfect combination for consciousness exploration. Jumping the stages, moving through mazes, blessing the sacreds, changing the matrix for all our relations. Feel a little low today, but that's alright, we're gonna use this perfect time to pray. Focus, love, and light in every single which your way. Until your spirit's bright and blazing, those we chone race, we chone, we chone.
So beautiful. Thank you, Chances. So, I just want everybody to be on the same page here. It's okay to feel all negativity. There's nothing negative about experiencing a dense state of mind. It's a choice. It's positive to understand, though, why you're constantly, repeatedly making these negative choices. Like I said, it's one thing to try and test out the feeling of density and anger and frustration, but it is a whole other idea to continue to slip in to these pockets of mindset. That's when it borderlines time to change. We have a caller on the air. I want to say hello to the one and only Dr. Michelle. How are you doing on this wonderful afternoon, Doc?
Hey, Dave. I'm doing fine. I appreciate you having me call in today and sort of contribute to everything you're saying, which I think is wonderful.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It means the world that you called. I'm so happy that... That you're on the air with us, and I feel so grateful.
Thank you.
Well, Doc.
Well, I was listening to what you had to say about situations that many of us are in when we're children.
Right.
You know, and how we perceive ourselves based on our parents' perceptions of us, and more importantly, how they are working on their life.
Right.
And you were so right. Sometimes the young mother, you know, unexpectedly got pregnant and had to raise children, but she's trying to deal with her own self-worth, who she is.
Of course.
She's still young. She's still going through phases of learning and growing.
And the child doesn't understand that, though.
Right.
The child sees the mother as this omnipotent being. Seriously.
Exactly.
I remember when I was younger and I would look at my mom and my dad and I would think they literally could do anything anytime, anywhere. Like, they're my parents. They do anything, do you know?
Right.
Like, so go on, please. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's true. I think we all idolize our parents. If we're abused verbally or physically, we want them to just love us and accept us, no
right.
matter where we came from. And so I think problems start happening when, you know, parents don't realize that children take in everything
right.
that goes on around them. And children are all about ego needs when they're little, and all through our lives, actually. And that means that if we feel rejected, or we feel hurt, or we feel abused, or we're in a bad environment, or mommy's all about herself and leaves me alone or with a babysitter a lot,
right.
who's not very nice, or leaves me with a lot of family members, or drops me off. The message is, I'm not worthwhile enough to be
exactly.
with mommy. Or daddy's angry, physically abusive, verbally abusive.
Exactly.
I guess I'm not worthwhile enough because they don't see me as a good person.
Exactly.
And that's what the ego problem is with children, is, and they're innocent, and that's all they want is love.
Right.
And now, that sometimes parents have their own issues. Of course, we're not all perfect. Sometimes
right.
we get grumpy. Sometimes we get tired, fatigued. We don't want to play. We don't want to talk about or hear the child talk about something because we're tired or we've had a rough day at work. That's different.
Totally.
You know?
Of
and,
course.
But I'm talking about a consistent
yes.
behavior of a parent who
as
doesn't show the child that they're loved.
As am I. I
and
mean,
that's
there's
damage.
That's damaging. See, and doctor, I'm so happy you called, because what I wanted to I actually wonderful. I wanted to ask, you know, that see that plants a seed, doc. And
mm-hmm.
obviously, just to clarify for the listeners, yes, I'm not talking about you know, if you know, parents work hard and they come home and they're, you know, they're like, oh, I'm really sorry, honey. I'm just tired. Like, can we talk about this
well,
later?
Yeah.
That's not blowing them off. That's like, you know, I've had a long day at work. I just want to sit down and go to bed. We'll talk about this in the morning. You know what I'm saying? That's
yeah.
completely fine. That's totally cool. You know, what we're talking about is constantly having this constant, repeated response of,
mm-hmm.
It's like I said earlier, doc, it's a mathematical equation. It's like an equation. Like, the kid
mm-hmm.
presents a certain vibration, the kid presents
mm-hmm.
a certain emotion,
right.
and then the
yeah.
mother or the father, whoever it may be, automatically, before even
yeah.
thinking, already has a pre-programmed response to that. That's what
right.
I'm talking about, is being in this routine of seated reaction. What I mean by
right.
seated reaction is you have reacted to the same person the same way so many times that you don't
yes.
even know why you're doing it anymore. It's a
That's
seated
true.
Reaction. So, doc, my question for you here
yes.
is, well, okay, first, I'm going to give you a statement, and then I'm going to ask you a question. The whole,
okay.
I'm going to say the whole thesis of today's episode that I'm trying to get to people is that being, when you were that kid, when you did have that damage, right, you obviously put up your defense mechanisms. But those defense
right.
mechanisms stayed with you as you grew up. So all you knew
mm-hmm.
how to operate through was these defense mechanisms. Now, like
mm-hmm.
I said,
yeah.
that little, you know, 6-year-old Timmy who has a mom that is so, you know, so worried about what her makeup looks like and what she's doing, you know, Saturday night, you know what I'm saying? Little Jimmy, all
yeah.
of a sudden, 10 years later, 16, 17, now he has girls, right? Now he has young girls that he's starting to, you know, get in contact with and, you know, flirt with and start to, you know, be attracted to or whatever. But then his first initial response is to react the same way that he did with his mother, because that's the only way that he knows how to act with women. That's the point that I'm trying to get to people, is that we can change that. Now, doc, my question for you, being the
yeah.
phenomenal psychologist that you are, truly
Thank
amazing,
you.
Amazing. My question for you here is, how do we get to those Timothys and those Jimmys of the world that, listen, buddy, you were 6 years old and your parents were still dealing with their shit? excuse my French.
Right.
How do we let right. how do we let a 17-year-old seventeen-year-old pubescent Jimmy, who's in the heart, who's in the dead center smack dab of finding out who he is, where he wants right. to be, who he wants to become, the most crucial moments of his life. How do we tell him that, listen, man, you got to let that go? That's,
yes.
it only causes pain if you're holding on. That's the attachment that you need to let go to successfully have a healthy relationship and a healthy image of your mother.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Unfortunately, people don't come to therapy until they're older and have insurance and are forced by their girlfriends or their families who finally want to have a relationship with this person, but say, you've got to have therapy or else.
Right.
So they should have, the answer to that is, it would be wonderful if they had more therapy services in high school available for young people.
Right. That's a great idea.
So that's the answer. How do we get to these people? Again, helping people understand through therapy, hopefully,
right.
or through an insightful other relative
right.
or other parent, friend's parent.
Someone that the kid feels comfortable
yes.
with. Right.
Yes, exactly. You know, who is there for them and listens to them and says, you know what, you're a great kid. What are you talking about? You're wonderful.
Right.
And gives them encouragement and love. But
absolutely.
I just wanted to touch, that's the answer to your question, I think. But I wanted to also touch on a point that you made, which was terrific.
Please, thank
and
you.
And that is, I guess you said, Timmy is going to grow up sort of looking at women the way he looked at his mother, because that's all he knows.
Right.
Right, and Timmy is a single, he has a single mom, right?
Yeah, Timmy was a six-year-old with a single mother
right.
who partied and stuff.
Okay, and here's some of the issues Timmy's going to have. He's going to pick women, probably, just like his mother.
Yes.
So Timmy's going to wonder why he's always being dumped or rejected, or why his girlfriends are promiscuous, or why his girlfriends are vain and emotional.
Right.
Because of all he knows in a woman is that drama from his mother. So he's going to keep having bad relationships. And I see this constantly from my 20 and 30-year-old patients.
Right,
women.
Right.
So I try to help them work through, this is all you knew, and it's okay. You're not a bad person. But you got to start picking people who you really need to figure out who are going to be good for you. And why are you picking these people? It's all you know. And number two, what's going to happen with Timmy, and this is not necessarily a done deal, but we see this, this is a huge campaign
right.
psychologically going on in our country, is the missing father syndrome.
Right.
You know, even if Timmy's dad is occasionally in the scene,
right.
I sure hope Timmy's dad is loving and is there for him. And isn't out looking for other women and dating other women,
yes.
making Timmy feel like he's second fiddle again.
Exactly, exactly.
So then there he has a double whammy. So therefore,
right.
when he grows up, Timmy's going to mistrust authority figures who are men. He's going to mistrust, you know.
Exactly.
Or be fearful of whatever his
exactly.
emotional reaction will be.
Absolutely.
But he's going to have a reaction to that.
Absolutely. Doc, I want to thank you so much for calling on the air. Unfortunately, it looks like we are coming to today's conclusion of Dave's Good Vibration Station. I could stay on here all day and talk with you guys. I love it so much, and I love each and every one of you. I especially want to send my gratitude, appreciation, and unconditional love to Dr. Michelle. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks. Always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Doc. And make sure to check her out every Friday at 11 on The Couch, Channel 1 on The Couch with Dr. Michelle. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Doc. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave's Good Vibration Station. We are always sending you unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter. I want to thank each and every one of you for spreading the seed of joy, spreading the seed of inspiration, following your highest excitements, understanding where your roots come from.
Who is the question?
We love you. If you ever want to email us, we are accepting them. Dave's Vibration Station at gmail.com. We love you guys. See you next Sunday.
Back in the day, there was a great sage by the name of Maharshi. He didn't preach, all he ever did say was ask yourself the question, who am I? Then stay present and ignore any answers. That's just your brain cancer. The story narrator, the conflict instigator, the one they call the mind. Make him face the mirror, who am I? Repeat it like a mantra until ego throws a tantrum and gets booted out this mansion. And now there's no more question. I am that I am essence before the manifested of the sun, earth, and fleshes. I am his total presence. If all of life's a painting, then I am is this canvas. Prior to the brushstrokes, consciousness is mirror smoke. Who's the one that wants to know? I will go when ego goes. Am I a phenomenal hollow whole finumeral? You see the tight conundrum, cause it's both sides of the pendulum. Subjectively observing, creating this momentum.